You're listening to Mile High Insiders with Nick Kendall and Luke Patterson. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Now, it's time to find out what's going on behind the walls of UC Health Training Center.
Welcome in, folks. Welcome in. It is the third day of August. It is Wednesday night, 6:04 Mountain Time. It means it's time for an episode of What's the Hat Say? Mile High Insiders. I am Nick Kendall and joined by Boots on the Ground there in Dove Valley, Luke Patterson. Luke, I feel like I just saw you yesterday. How you doing?
Doing good, man. You know, raising all kinds of hell, doing what I got to do out here in Broncos country. Nah, man, I'm doing good. All things considered, the world was falling yesterday, right? When I joined you and Carl on Building the Broncos every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Mountain. Speaking of Carl, Carl's going to be out with me on location, I believe, in the Mile High City tomorrow. So day 8 of training camp. They're supposed to ramp it up, right? No, Nick. I mean, I'm doing okay. You get a full night's rest to really think about what the Tim Patrick injury means. And no, we don't have answers right away. It's kind of a long-term thing that we're going to experience with Tim watching this team without him, if that makes any sense. So some good signs today from different positional groups. One specific group we'll talk about that I wrote about in my training camp journal at milehighhuddle.com. But I'm doing okay, man. I think emotions are running high right now, and it's hot. It's tough with the current practice schedule. It's tough with kids going back to school. It's tough with adults and their work schedule, last minute vacations. It's a tough part of training camp. You're in these real dog days, if you will, right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I have dog days of summer for a reason. And definitely, I'm sure the guys on in Dove Valley, the Broncos country, and maybe some other folks too, you know, getting a little testy, getting at it. I don't know if you saw anything.
Yeah.
Trevor Penning was kicked out of practice today.
I did. Three
fights in a row. Yeah. Gosh.
Fights. All right. Let's start talking about fights. And no, yeah. Bradley Chubb and Garrett Bowles are not mixing it up. They're both doing very well, by the way. Both of them getting good reps on each other. It's really good to see. You can't really pick. Like last year, we had quarterback of the day. I'm trying to figure out Garrett Bowles or Bradley Chubb of the day. It's really tough, right? Because we don't have those one-on-ones and stuff like that. But man, this rookie Saints tackle getting after some people, a little too curricular at the end. I would definitely agree with that. But you got to be happy that at least the fights aren't happening internally with the Broncos right now. Maybe they're saving that for Dallas.
Yeah, hopefully. Beat a little Dallas. Maybe a little bit of interesting going on there. We got some Dallas Broncos news that came down the wire today as well. So we'll get into that and maybe some repercussions of that. But first, obviously, wants to address the elephant in the room again. The injury to Tim Patrick and DeMario Crockett. But we talked a lot of Tim Patrick yesterday. We'll get to it. DeMario Crockett, how was he looking before this? Oh. And obviously a big bummer to him. He does get paid for the rest of the year because of the injury. So if he was like borderline, he has guaranteed money coming his way now. But still, devastating. My heart goes out to him.
His bank account is protected, but his football future is in the air. And that's what it looks like for DeMario Crockett, who was having a great camp, Nick. You look at the running back room, who I told you, I think they were one of my first positions I talked about, shocking, last week when camp opened here on MHI. But no, man, he was having a good camp. He really has a different style running of more different than Javonte Williams' power, Melvin Gordon's shiftiness. He really just kind of had that agility and burst that you were really looking for. I'm disappointed, just like everybody else, but hoping that this young guy comes back because he's got a lot of potential. And that running back room led by Javonte Williams, they've got a lot of potential to do some damage as well.
Yeah, and man, Javonte Williams, an emerging superstar for the Broncos. And how about this for a giveaway? A signed Javonte Williams helmet. We welcome Pristine Auction as a sponsor to our podcast and our show at Mile High Huddle. PristineAuction.com is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ from the Better Business Bureau rating. They gave me a scholarship back in the day in high school. So shout out to Better Business Bureau. Auctions on PristineAuction.com come at just $1. And each day there are over 1,000 autograph items available. So you win signed authentic signatures at affordable prices. Just like last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for just $110. That's mind-blowing. Deals like this are happening all the time on pristineauction.com, and they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Cortland Sutton, Russell Wilson, Patrick Surtain, and so much more. Every item on pristineauction.com comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators. Upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item one when you use our code HUDDLE when you sign up. Again, pristineauction.com. Use code HUDDLE and get $10 off the first item one. Oh, and that's not all. In addition to $10 off your first item, we are giving away a signed Javonte Williams helmet to one lucky listener who signed up using the code HUDDLE. So again, all you have to do is sign up using the code HUDDLE. Here's your chance to win. All you have to do is sign up on their website using our registration code HUDDLE to be entered. Links are in the description.
Guys, that's pristineauction.com. Javonte Williams, you know him, you love him. Pookie, he's in the house this year, man. I've got Pookie as a top five running back in the NFL right now. Ooh. How sweet would it be to get that helmet, dude? Head on over to pristineauction.com. Register for your chance to win, guys. That's it. All you got to do is register. Pristineauction.com has your back.
Yeah, and thanks, Scott, for flashing the helmet there. Man, it's a good-looking helmet. They got to go back to that. Chris Hernandez, speaking of flashing up here, $2.99 super sticker over on YouTube. Chris, it's been a hot second, but we appreciate you rocking the gator and the mug. Hope you're doing well. Hope your summer has been good, and hope you're getting excited for some legitimate football. For the first time since I joined this Broncos team back in, gosh, it would have been the 20... leading up to the 2017 draft. That's a legitimate hope on this team. So I'm really excited to cover hopefully a winning team this year. Gary Leeds Palmer coming in too, saying, hey, Luke, Nick, and Scott. Luke, you're doing a great job with the daily news. Double that. I say that as well. Thanks. Go Broncos and let's ride. Gary, let's go, Gary. Thank you so much. GLP, we appreciate you. Also, Phil McLaughlin coming in. Sorry, go ahead.
Wow. God, man, we're coming in. And it's a barrage. Oh, my God. It's a barrage. No, man. It's really cool to see all this support from our friends, from our family, and you guys. We had a question really early, Nick, early in the chat before we even got on the air saying, yo, why is MHI off of Saturdays and on to Wednesdays? I answered back real quick. It's because of you, Broncos country. It's because of our MHH Super Chat superstars. And Chris, man, good to see you. Hope you're doing well. I know you're rocking that Peloton, always in good shape. Thank you for your service, brother. And Phil McLaughlin, man, good to see you. Gary Leeds Palmer, my guy, always in the house. Phil McLaughlin weighing in. Good evening, Luke, Nick, and Broncos country. Let's see here. Thanks, Luke, for being on the ground. Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man, but it's not just me. It's a team effort. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com. We've got the best news coverage analysis podcast. We've got you covered at milehighhuddle.com. There's no subscription, no fees, no funny business, nothing like that. Be sure to head on over to @milehighhuddle on the mothership for Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for coming in. We appreciate you. A few more people want to say hello to. Dylan Von Ark, sup Broncos country. Make sure you guys hit that like button on the way in and subscribe if you haven't already. Thank you so much, Dylan. We appreciate you. First, no fear. Good evening, Broncos country. Good to see you. Bradley Conger, what's up, Broncos country? Not too much. And I like this one. Ron coming in here saying, all I got to say is, oh, Keenan Allen, keep poking, and you see what this team does to the Chargers on Monday Night Football. Boat fam, that's right. He said it was smooth. You know what? I think they like Russell Wilson. Maybe he is corny, but he's our cornball now. You know, embrace it. I'm from Iowa. I love corn. He's our dude.
I can't stand Keenan Allen. As if I needed another reason to not like that man any more than I already do. I found it obnoxious. I think he kind of made an idiot out of himself because I don't think they get it. I don't think anybody gets the let's ride with the actual Bronco and that tying that meaning together. I think they just think it's corny Russ coming up with the unlimited, right? And I mean, teach their own. But I did ask someone today watching practice, I'm like, man, what are Kareem Jackson is going to have to say to Keenan Allen, man? You know, K-Jack is a one-man wrecking ball out there just looking to raise hell at this point in his career. And he's having a very good camp, a player I'm going to highlight probably tomorrow, especially if those pads are on and they're thumping. But no, I didn't like it, man. I didn't like it one bit. It was in good fun. It was very tasteful, I'll say that. But to hell with the Chargers.
Absolutely. Although if there's a Justin Herbert $110 jersey on what it, then I might be bidding on that. But thank you so much, Juan. Good to see you. Jeremy Sean saying that Keenan Allen wishes he was a Bronco so bad it's sad. Rhyme in there, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting, man. I mean, obviously he's got a good quarterback right now in Justin Herbert, but I was reminded of those times Chris Harris Jr. and Keenan Allen would go at it for a long time, and then they became teammates for a little bit. And CHJ, I think, free agent, right? I don't know if he officially retired. Maybe he did, and I'm completely late to the party, but that's one of those things, man, where it's nice when you can have that division rival, that guy that everyone loves to dislike, like a Phillip Rivers, if you will, the Raiders. Hopefully it's Devontae Adams. I'm looking forward to seeing some pass tan on Devontae Adams, man, and what the Chiefs are doing out there in Kansas City. We know all about that. No Tyreek Hill, no problem. Those guys are still going to be an issue in the AFC West.
Yeah, absolutely. A few more people got to say hello to. Dale, good evening. Nick, Luke, Scott, and Dylan, and the new names in the chat for me. I'm always happy for the new people in here. Good to see you, Dale. Hope you're doing well. Hope today's better. Hope things have been better for you. Mike Gibbons, good evening to you. Mike S is in the house too. Awesome to see you. EJ in the house. Good evening, Nick, Luke, and Broncos Country. We also got this. Let's go, Bronc. Yellow balloon? Light bulb? I don't know. But either way, let's go, Broncos. We like that a lot. appreciate you. That's rad. I also love the college quarterbacks coming in and doing that too. I don't know. It's fun. It's a trend. And also a trend. Gary Leeds Palmer double dipping today, saying, I think the fan interaction on MHH is better than anyone. Well, Gary, we appreciate that. And, you guys are the reasons that we're up here having the show. I mean, I guess I love you fans. Probably the Broncos first is the reason we're here, but that's what brings us together. Then it's because of you guys. So we appreciate you.
Yeah, Gary, don't make any mistake, man. You're leading that ship every day. I see you on not just my show. I saw you last night on Building the Broncos. Just like I see my guy, Mike Ronquillo, always in the house representing from Arizona, saying good evening, Luke and Nick on the Mile High Insiders. Let's ride and go Broncos. Michael is just another great representative of our MHH Super Chat superstar community, just like our guy Andrew Baker with us since the beginning, with us since those Saturday days, coming with us to primetime on Wednesday. What's up, MHI and Broncos country? Great teams deal with adversity. No excuses now, quarterback, coaching, or injuries. Hashtag let's ride. Andrew, I'm glad you said that, because for me, being there and witnessing the Tim Patrick injury, and I talked about it last night on Building the Broncos with Nick, Scott, and Carl. You can go ahead and look that up wherever you get your podcasts. It was scary. It was nerve-wracking. It ruined not only practice, it ruined the day for me. I was grouchy. I was in a bad mood up until this morning when I got back out there and saw that football was still happening. Quinn Miner said something on air recently in an interview that I couldn't help but fall in love with. And it's something that's rather simple, but it makes a lot of sense. And he said, good teams are led by good coaches. Great teams are led by players. And I absolutely love that. Russell Wilson, he has stopped practice at certain points in camp just once to get the guys together, say, look, we got to pick this up. It was Monday, the day after their off day, Sunday. He's not a yeller. He's not a screamer. None of the coaches are either. They're all about learning. But it's changed. The culture down there has completely changed. And when one of your top guys goes down, you wonder how people are going to respond. Are you going to come out and you're going to be timid? No. You know why? Because Russell Wilson's not going to let that happen. He is in full control of this team. It might have been a lighter day, but it was definitely not a lazy day.
Yeah, absolutely. And just no injuries today, right? We're all good on that front. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I think we're good. I would have to go to the good old tweeting machine to find that one out. But no, I think we're good. There is some Broncos news that happened today, obviously, that we'll get to. Broncos signed a new running back, one of Colorado's own, right? Max Borgi. Pretty cool, kind of keeping the Colorado tradition going, if you will. I know they worked out several players as well. Obviously, Demarie Crockett and Tim Patrick were officially placed on the injured reserve list today. So the Denver Broncos moving some chairs, if you will, just a little bit. No, they're not the Titanic. Dave from Georgia, what's up? Saying, hey, Broncos country. Good to see you, Dave. Good to know that those Broncos country orange and blue flags are flying out there in Georgia Bulldog Redland. Man, I absolutely love it.
Hey, don't assume. Maybe he's a Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket guy. Who knows? No, Kathy Lund.
True, DT, baby.
DT, absolutely. Also, Calvin Johnson. I mean, God, with the team that runs the triple option, producing those two guys will never make sense.
Megatron. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, by the way. Yeah, that doesn't make sense at all. They just like somehow found a gold mine and struck twice.
Yeah, I'm sure Scott has some takes on that with the being in the recruiting business for a bit there. But Kathy Lund, hi, Broncos fam. Good to see y'all. What up, Nick and Luke? Not too much. Getting excited for the weekend. We're happy hump day. What? Albert Knopper is also good evening, guys, in Broncos country. And Benjamin Forrest comes in with a comment saying, howdy, fellas. Sucks about Patrick, but I keep reminding myself that Russ did more with far less than he had in Denver, even without Patrick. So we're in good hands. Keep up the good work and go Broncos. And this injury, it's definitely a big injury. And my heart goes out for Patrick because it sounds like he's an incredible dude. I am glad that he got his contract a year ago now. So you know, it's not like, you know, he was playing on the tender and then now what's the market going to be like for him? But the offense being better than Seattle, I think is pretty easy to say, but I think we don't want to undersell how good DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett were. I think the run game in Denver should be better than what Russell Wilson's had recently. I think the overall volume of weapons should be better, but Lockett and DK together might be better than Courtland and Judy, and that's your top two now. So I'm fascinated to say, I'm not saying that definitely, but I think it's more of a conversation to have than many in Broncos country want to have.
I think that's fair. And Ben, I really appreciate your support. Thanks for weighing in, buddy. You're exactly right. I think we're running back to comparisons to the known. What do we know? Well, we know Russell Wilson's a great quarterback, but we need more than just that. What does he like? What doesn't he like? Well, something that you pointed out relatively early in MHI as Russell Wilson came to the Broncos was he's not a huge fan of utilizing the middle of the field. What's he been working on the last 3 to 4 days? Utilizing the middle of the field, specifically with his tight ends. And this is where we're getting at, Ben. I mean, Russell Wilson is trying to take a weaker point of his game and turn it around, almost flip the script on it. Something I really respect because it takes a lot of humility for a Super Bowl winning quarterback that's got 9 Pro Bowls. You're married to Sierra. You've got everything you could ever want. You're one of the most powerful men in the country. And you want to humble yourself by attacking your most weakest point. He's out there running these agility drills, Nick. And it's bizarre because you're thinking, man, does Russ really need to be doing that? I mean, I kind of worry about a rolled ankle. I'm a little sensitive about injuries now. Man, this guy is all work. He is all work. He's absolutely loving his craft right now, but it doesn't mean it comes easy. So embracing these small things are really, really important, and it's a really good sign, at least for the tight end room right now for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, they might have to pivot a little bit with what their personnel usage is going to be. Maybe a little bit more pieces of pie for the running backs and the tight ends in the pass game than they would have had. But we have to have some of these guys step up. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Andrew Baker coming back in with a support saying Peyton made hay with no names and made them into superstars. Russ will do the same with Mr. Unlimited. I got to push back just a little bit about Peyton making hay with no names because Marvin Harrison, first round pick, Reggie Wayne, first round pick, Dallas Clark, first round pick.
I got his back. I got your back right here, man. I'm not going to let Nick look. Listen to Nick roll off the cuff, man. Nick's been waiting for you, Andrew. No, man. I think Andrew's referencing. Look at some of the Broncos guys. Look at Eric Decker. Look at Virgil Green. Look at Julius Thomas. Yeah, how can I forget Julius Thomas? I'm hoping that's where he's going with it because I think you saw that in the latter part of the years. I mean, if Eric Decker couldn't, you know, get tripped by the turf monster all the time, I think he would have been a lot better of a player than he actually was. But I get it, and I think I'm seeing some of that right now, Andrew. I mean, today I wrote about it at MileHighHuddle.com. You had Albert O, Greg Dulcich, Eric Sauber, Eric Tomlinson, and Andrew Beck all rolling with the starting offense. Sometimes there were 2 tight end sets. Sometimes there were 3. You wonder if some of that is a response, Nick, to Tim Patrick going down, because something I brought up on your show last night was that Tim Patrick, the blocker, is a huge loss when he's not on the field. Him and Cortland Sutton pancaking corners is one of my favorite things to see in the entire world. How can you supplement that? Well, you've got some dogs in the tight end room who don't mind blocking. I saw Greg Dulcich working hard on his blocking ability today. Doesn't mean he's there by any means, but definitely something you want to see. And it's just curious when you've got all, what is that, 5 tight ends right now, really, rolling in and out with the ones. And then you've got the 2s and the 3s over here doing their thing. Who are they utilizing for tight ends? I mean, they pretty much have them all on one field, maybe hinting at their utilization in the future.
Yeah, and I mean, we can get real specific with the tight ends. Like, I think what Saubert and Tomlinson are going to do is more of that traditional Y tight end attached to line of scrimmage. You're going to see Dulcich and Albert Okwuegbunam playing a little bit more of an F or a big slot role. And then you have Andrew Beck, who's more of the H-back. If any of those other guys can play the H-back, then maybe you make Andrew Beck more dispensable, freeing up a roster spot. But definitely will be interesting to see how it plays out. I do want to say hello to my guy Dom, saying, my boys, good evening. Yeah. Luke and Scott in Broncos country. Have a great Wednesday night, fellas. Good to see you, Dom. Hope you're doing well. And also one of my guys, Ernie Mays. Hello, Luke and Nick, the greatest. Nick, the greatest. I like the way that sounds. No, Ernie, thank you so much. Good to see you.
Back, man. You guys are all hitting us in a flurry there. It's so cool to see so many of our friends coming in and tuning in. Kathy, I appreciate you. Jeremy, I see you in there as well. And Dom, man. Dom was one of the first friends to hit me up and be like, dude, I know you were there. Tell me how you're feeling about Tim Patrick. And I'm like, it's horrible. I'm horrible. You know, like that's how I am right now. Totally overreacting. Andrew Baker coming in with my boy. I was talking about Broncos wideouts. Yeah, there were some well-known Broncos wideouts too, though, right? You do have the Brandon Stokely's of the world, Demaryius Thomas, God rest his soul. Wes Welker was here for a little bit of a spell. I feel like, Nick, the Broncos receiving corps had a pretty rich history when you look back at it. And you even go back to some of those stagnant days. If we really want to go stagnant, I mean, like Ashley Lalee was a good player. I think maybe considered stagnant, really, in my mind, just because of all the other receivers he's in company with. But the Broncos still have receivers, folks. I get it. Tim Patrick is down. He is out. Speaking of receivers, Kendall Hinton, Nick, working out today in just a hat. Not sure if there was a tweak or anything like that or if it's precautionary, but he needs all the reps he can get because the wide receiver room, not all these guys are going to make the team.
Yep. Absolutely. We also got Dave from Georgia. Dave, I see you're from Athens, so go Dogs. You'll get it from me for the $10 here. Saying it sounds like Washington, Montrell Washington, fifth round pick of the Broncos this year, is going to push for playing time on offense as well as returner. I know that Montrell Washington's been making a lot of plays. Has he cracked any first team reps yet, or has it all been, you know, torching the third string defense?
Oh, how do I say this without breaking any rules so I don't get in trouble? They have Montrell Washington involved. Okay. There are certain situations, I think, where you will see certain packages where Montrell Washington could be in. All right. Let's just say it that way. Look, you know that with his profile, just like you do with KJ, right? There's no secret. Everyone's seeing what I'm seeing with KJ too. KJ, by the way, looking awesome because you need him to right now. Wondering if he has a different knee brace than Cortland Sutton did because he's moving totally amazing with it. And some guys, it's all about preference, right, Nick? But
yeah,
I don't know, man. Dave is exactly right. It does sound like Montrell Washington not only is going to make this team, but he's making some waves, at least right now. He's showing improvement every day. No, he's not the second coming of Tyreek Hill. Let's squash that right now, just like we all thought KJ Hamler was going to be, who, by the way, KJ's telling us that he's gotten faster throughout the offseason. That's pretty interesting. I'm going to go ahead and believe him because why would a speed demon like that ever fib or do anything like that? But now this receiving core is deep. The coaches are definitely compensating for Patrick a little bit, and they're going to adjust. That's one thing that we know. One thing I can't adjust to is Stu McPeak's humility and support and loyalty. Man, he overwhelms us so much because he's been riding with us since the very beginning. Stu, thank you for a generous 1999 super chat saying, good to watch Broncos football in Denver. Stu, when was the last time you felt this good? Peyton Manning, right? I mean, that has to be it, Nick. We have suffered too long. Broncos country, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. You know who deserves it? The Seattle Seahawks. They deserve it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. They do deserve it. And I want to say hello to some more people coming in here. Jason O'Neill, it's been a minute since I've been able to attend live. Good to have you, Jason. How's life, Broncos fam? And what say you, Luke and Nick? Heart goes out to Patrick and Crockett. Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see you, Jason. Hopefully everything is going well. I also saw that Jay Kozad's in the house saying that Sertan pick is looking better with the receivers in this division. Luke, I'm going to give you the floor here real quick. I've heard a lot of people talking about the likes of Patrick Sertan, and is the hype really living up to it? Because right now I'm drinking all the juice.
I'm drinking all the juice. I'm closing down the bar. I'm popping bottles all up in the videos, everything, man. Yes. Patrick Surtain is the real deal. I went so far as to write about it on Saturday, the Broncos Back Together exclusive event. Seeing him for the first time on the media side, where you're just a tad closer, was completely different when you see how big this guy is. And he's like talking to you and you're just like, you're a corner? What? And he's able to do these things like ruin Cortland Sutton's day. Tim Patrick, you know, he was all over that guy. He can play any of these receivers. And what I said in that article, Nick, was there's no reason he can't be the one of the best corners in the league this year. Maybe right now. I would really put him as a top five corner in this league today. If you can cover any of the Broncos wide receivers, there's no reason that you can't be top 10 right off the gate. I mean, I get it. Jerry Jeudy, he's pretty, the dancing, the moving. It's not easy to cover him. Go ask Eli Apple.
God, yeah. Or don't ask Eli Apple. He'll come at you on Twitter. I don't know this name, whoever this is, but he's a scary man. But a Facebook user coming in here saying, what's up, boys? I'm cautiously optimistic about the season because of the creative offense that may help with the offense. But I do expect an adjustment period because of everything that is new. And they are implementing a new scheme, and I'm expecting a slow start. What do you guys think? So it does seem like so far the defense has been winning most days. Now it's install period. They're not really going full. I think this is realistic to expect a somewhat slower start. Luckily, you aren't playing a lot of, on paper, expected to be top defenses. Big thing that really has me questioning about how quickly this team can start is that if things are complicated, the passing is just much more of a coordinated dance where I think winning in the trenches, sometimes you just win on that talent up front. Now, don't get me wrong. The outside zone is a coordinated dance as well. But if the Broncos had a dominant like plus offensive line and run game, running backs to pair with it, I think the running backs are fine. The offensive line, question mark. So because they can't just like, okay, offensive passing game's going to come together a little bit more slowly, let's just lean on the run game early on. We don't know about that with the offensive line. So I definitely do think that a slower start is would not be shocking at all.
Man, you hit the nail on the head for me just right there, Nick, because I was feeling all optimistic about the offense. And no, I'm not keeping score out there. All right. Like, I get it. Have some situational awareness. But if you think you're going to go out there and try to chart plays from training camp, don't do it. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work. These things are scripted. You don't know the layout of practice. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what Hackett's doing. We're all trying to figure out how does he want to emulate his practice style. And it starts with game week, and that's how he's looking at it. But if I'm being honest, Nick, I'm talking to some guys, some friends of mine that have played, and they're saying, look, in the O-line and the D-line, all this stuff is fine and good. We love coming to practice. We're not beat up. We're not tired. But how ready are these guys because they're not facing so much contact? What do we know? Nathaniel Hackett doesn't like one-on-ones. He doesn't like seven-on-sevens. He told me that the other day. He said, look, it's one of the deals where football is a team sport. You want to have your unit in. You want to have your unit working together. I thought about that and thought that was a really refreshing answer. It's something I really had never considered. Seemed a little radical to me, right? But I don't like change. So I'm thinking, well, maybe it's just me being stuck in my old ways and just thinking of football the only way I know. Nathaniel Hackett, he knows a lot more than I ever know. What the hell? So let's go with it. And then you talk to the O lineman, you talk to the D lineman, and you wonder, are they getting enough contact? Are they getting enough sweat? Are they getting enough energy? Are they used to leaning on each other? Because they're essentially going from glorified walkthroughs at some point to 75 to 80% walkthroughs to the game. And that worries me, Nick, because there's only one way you can train for live bullets, and that's going against them. They're not doing these one-on-ones, and I'm a little worried about the big boys.
Yeah, at the same time, it's always a risk to get out there and do that. So first, I want to say hello to David McElrath. Good to see you, David. Hope you're doing well. I want to run through these ones real quick, too. Quinn Bynum, belly boy, let's ride. I love it.
Belly boy!
We also got middle of the field. Let's ride. Sierra, let's ride. That's ooh, the one I'm endorsing that one. Man, that's a
good. Isn't she great? Isn't she great? By the way, yeah. Sierra there every day. She appears to be a loving and devoted mother to her children. She doesn't have people watching her kids or anything like that. She's right there watching camp, man. It's a walk past her the other day. I was just trying not to look. Fanboy. I don't want Russ to kick my butt. KB, here's a fun, familiar name. What's up, buddy? And as always, thank you for your service. 499 saying, what's up, brothers? Who has the best chance to get Patrick snaps? Hinton, Seth, or Montrell?
It seems right now, if we're using
Good question.
If we're using data to answer this question, the answer would be Seth Williams, because he's been the first one in line to take Patrick's reps, exact role, whatnot. I don't think it'll be Hinton. Montrell, I think, is more so KJ Hamler insurance this season as far as his role, probably a little bit more gadgety, which is fine. Get the ball in his hands and go make some plays. It's a space game. If you can do that, I mean, we're seeing it with Kyle Shanahan does it better than anybody, you know, positionless football, get the ball to playmakers in space and let them go do things. But as far as the actual role and the snaps and whatnot, it seems like Seth Williams is going to get the first crack at it, but I'm guessing, I think they're going to bring in somebody when teams cut from 90 to 53, just because there's going to be, God, Scott did the math this morning, 40 times 32, whatever that is. That's how many more players are going to be available. Some of those are going to be some wide receivers that are probably more attractive than what's on the market right now.
That's interesting, KB. Appreciate you so much, man. A good question. I would say this, and I know everybody loves Kendall Hinton. I don't think he's going to make this team, Nick. I really don't. No, you need so many more pass rushers in this team right now than you realize. And Randy Gregory, no, he hasn't taken a snap, still on the pup. Bradley Chubb, he's looking good, right? But live bullets, we don't know. Offensive line, defensive line, edge, they can only look good against the dummy bags so long until they're ready to go into the game. Man, Seth Williams should be that guy. He should be. I wonder, he still sounds, at least in an interview, and it's an interview, right? We're just talking about audio. We're not talking about X's and O's. Sounds just a little immature to me. Like he's still probably catching up in some of the answers that I've heard him give. But he has the more physical trait to step in. And he's most like Tim Patrick. No, he's not built like Tim Patrick. He's not that alpha big-bodied guy. But he's not Kendall Hinton. He's not KJ Hamler. And he's not Montrell Washington. So that is something that you've got to look at. And I think you bring up, and Scott brings up, a really good point. Who's going to be a wide receiver that is on the market right now that the Broncos want to look at a few weeks from now? You know what I mean? Like right now you've got Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton, Cole Beasley, my guy Emmanuel. I'm not going to lie, Nick. I would kick the tires on Emmanuel. He's here. He's back at the Mile High City. Him and Cortland could throw water bottles at each other again. Hell, maybe they give my guy Emmanuel his number 10 back. How about that?
Man, he just left on such bad terms in Denver. Yeah, but this is a team that's in a better position now to compete. So maybe it's something to consider, but I wouldn't do that until you're right up against it, you know, week one, week two, and all you're losing reps. I'd rather see some of these other guys get some run first that are cheaper, younger, ascending players versus Emmanuel Sanders, who sun is setting. I mean, 35-year-old wide receiver, that's on the wrong end of things by 5 years. So we'll see how it plays out. But again, I think there's going to be some wide receivers who are cut that you're going to be able to get that I'd be more interested in.
Do you think George Payton would have at least picked up the phone and called Julio Jones?
I do, actually. I think the body type would make sense. Julio going to a contender would make some sense as well. I do think, though, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are slightly more attractive than the Denver Broncos getting a chance to go play with Tom Brady. As good as Russell Wilson is, I mean, getting a chance to go play with Tom Brady, NFC is a much easier path to success. And also Florida weather, he's from the South down there. It just makes a lot more sense to me that he'd end up in Tampa. But, I mean, I do think that Peyton would have called.
Interesting. So my guy Emmanuel, last year with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, looks like he started in 13 games. He got 72 targets, completed 42 catches for 626 yards and 4 touchdowns. Sign me up, dude. Compared to a rookie wideout, or God forbid there's another injury, right? I know, but we have to brace ourselves. And can we stop, Nick, or at least what's your take? I should say, before I get on my high horse, I don't like the Lauren Landau stuff, where it's like, we need to blame the trainer and we need to look at this. I'm sure it's been looked at. Like, these are million-dollar investments into human beings' bodies. And I said it last night, Lauren Landau knows more about physiology, anatomy, and nutrition than the average keyboard warrior can type 15 words per minute. So where do you fall on the Broncos? Because it was an interesting tweet and pointing out facts. Adam Schefter yesterday saying, what is that, 3 Broncos ACL tears the last 3 years?
Yeah, I'd have to talk with somebody who's an expert in this. You can kind of weigh the opinion. You know, that's just me probably being a scientist on this. Jeremy saying Luke's computer isn't ready for the season either. But I think that a lot of these people, while Broncos countries and fans and a lot of people in the organization should be excited about the Waltons coming. If there's anything like this going on, where there's questions about, you know, the training and the health of the players, your time probably is very limited and your days are numbered. So better figure it out. And if there are upgrades to be had in different avenues to improve the health, nutrition, overall output of the players on the Broncos, then I'm guessing they're going to look at it. But right now, I think it's much more freak injuries. And this tends to happen in football. And when you take a step back, this happens to a lot of teams. There's just randomness in the universe. And it's very, very human to look for reason when something doesn't just have to have a reason. It could just suck.
I like that. I think there's a lot of truth in that answer. And, you know, there's no expense being spared over at UCL Training Center for these players right now and their ability to win. And no, it's not just because Russ is here. It was that way when they were bad the last half a decade. I mean, Pat Bowlen set that standard. Whatever they need, let's get, but we need to win. Well, they've had it all. They've got the barber chairs in the locker room. They've got the best food. They've got the best service. They're being told they're the greatest, and they haven't done anything the last 6 years. Well, now they're a lot more humble. Now you're seeing the work and the culture start to build. It's starting to develop, and you're seeing guys take care of their own bodies and have a little more accountability for themselves. When you see Russell Wilson and all the time he's making for cryotherapy, all these other things he's doing, and he's still jetting around all over the world, what's your excuse for not going in to get your treatment done? That's the level the Broncos are at right now.
Yep, absolutely. And the demands and the expectations have gone up. And when you have a quarterback, that's a good thing. I mean, this is what we've been waiting for. So finally,
here we go. We had EJ. EJ's weighing in on the opposite end of this. So EJ, I want to let this breathe because Nick and I are all about spirited debate, healthy conversation. And EJ's flipping on the other side saying, look, Lauren Landau's training program continues to produce ACL injuries. When are we going to part ways with him? So here's what the pushback I just have against that, EJ. Yes, you're right. Lauren Landau has been the head athletic trainer, and these injuries have happened to players slash clients of his. But it's not like homie's on the field with a stick tripping guys. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. We need to look at it. Maybe Lauren Landau's some sort of warlock, Nick. I don't know. And he's casting a spell on these guys. Like, come on, EJ. You know better than that, baby. Like, Lauren Landau is not causing these issues. This man is world-renowned. He works for more than just NFL clubs and athletes and teams. He's got Olympic athletes. Go look at his facility. Go on Twitter. Go poke around on his website. This guy is world-renowned for the stuff that he does, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but the last place I'm going to look is at Lauren Landau.
Yeah, again, for me, I'm not an expert in physiology. I do know that in any expert medical field or anything like that, there's always advances being made in new methodology and whatnot that you have to keep up on. So maybe there's somebody with a different way of thinking or updated that maybe would be a better option. But I'm not an expert in that in any way. So I'm not saying fire Lauren Landau. That's far from what I'm saying.
And replace him with who, right? Like, every time we want to fire somebody, my answer is always, who are you going to replace him with and why? Yeah, because otherwise, at what point are we just complaining or trying to find a solution? That's where we have to try to part ways. And you said it best, Nick. The human being reaction is to try to find logic why these things are happening. And I don't know why they're happening, and it drives me nuts.
Yep. Not everything has to have a reason. The universe is full of entropy. TD Randall, $2, coming in saying, overset, but number two is going to be special, man. Number two, who are we thinking about here? Oh, duh, Patrick Surtain.
Duh. PS2, baby, the only number two that matters. Yeah, TD Randall, you're right, man, and I don't know, Broncos country, let me know. How many of you guys are sporting a Pat Surtain jersey? Because I see him everywhere. There are number twos and number threes everywhere at UC Health Training Center right now. And yes, you can still get your Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Locke jersey for a whopping $39.99. It's kind of interesting, man. It's weird whenever you see that, but then it's also kind of a cold, hard reality check. If this is the NFL, and how long have we seen that same jersey rack have Case Keenum's name on it, Joe Flacco's name on it? Who,
he's back. Joe Flacco's back. Did you see that today?
Am I having a stroke? Joe Flacco is somehow trending on Twitter, and then you've got New York Jets and Robert Saleh talking about it. I mean, why is Joe Flacco getting all this love, Nick?
Oh man, the former number two overall pick must be a lot of Delaware. People in the draft community who are smart saying Zach Wilson was just a Mormon Drew Locke, and seems like right now that maybe that's turning that way, but we'll find out. Maybe a little bit better luck with the moms in the community, but I digress.
Burn Stifler's yeah. mom.
Yeah, no, gosh. On. Yeah. The Cougars, man, it's just the jokes write themselves. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see Joe Flacco back in the headline. Talking about, you know, all these different things here and, you know, connections here. Some news came out about the Broncos today. Talked about Max Borgi coming here. Do you have any thoughts on that? I know he had a tryout with the Broncos as well. Had a lot of receptions for the Washington State Cougars as a, you know, an air raid style running back. And now he's in Denver. See him today? Any news on that?
Did not see him today. I think they probably worked him out in the afternoon right as soon as they cut us loose. But 5'9", 207 pounds, as Kathy Lund, our good friend in the chat, said, Washington State. I don't know if you're a Washington State alum, Kathy, but she's all over it. He appeared in 39 games from 2018 to 2021, 369 rushes for 2,100 yards. He had a 5.8 average. Man, that's pretty interesting. 5.8 yard average, 32 touchdowns, added 156 catches for 1,100 yards, 9 receiving scores. So this cat found the end zone, man. But he's that different, I would imagine, different pace back, but just hearing 5'9", 207, that's nothing to slouch at either. I mean, like, yeah, he's short, but 207 at that height, like, is he like just a little muscle pig, or like what's the deal there, man? You don't see 5'9", 207 at running back in the NFL too much. I'm sure I'll see him tomorrow.
Yeah, most of the big backs in today's NFL, the ones that are making, you know, waves, are 220 plus. There are not many that are smaller than that that are, you know, carrying the load, because it's so much about trying to get teams to get rid of their two high safety shells and make them get into a cover three or cover one or something like that, or play base. And typically you see that you want more linebackers on the field because, hey, everyone say it with me, linebackers suck. They don't matter. But
how dare you? How dare you? Shame on you. I'll mute you. I'll kick you out of the stream. How dare you? Don't ever. No, if you said that. Running backs, I can go there with you, but the linebackers, man, I'm telling you, man, they're missing out. I did think about you the other day, though. Our friend Mike Kliss wrote an interesting article about Draymond Jones. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah,
I totally thought about you and giving some comparisons to maybe utilizing him in an Aaron Donald role. And you're seeing that, Nick. You're seeing Draymond Jones. Not to get off topic, but I just totally thought of you when I read that, because you're seeing him inside, you're seeing him outside. Yeah. He's aggressive. They're trying to hold him back, right? How do you tell a guy like Draymond Jones and Quinn Miners and Dalton Risner, hey, tempo it back a little bit. We can't have any of this. Yeah. Tell that to Lloyd Cushenberry, who's out there pancaking DJ Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Pancaking DJ Jones. Absolutely insane. DJ Jones having his own great camp. Jacob Foster, what's up, buddy? Good to see you in the house. Thank you for joining MHI. He's Nick Kendall. I'm Luke Patterson. Because of Jacob Foster, and of course, our very own Scott Kendall and the MHH community, we are able to come to you guys every night, every Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Mountain. You can find Nick and I, Nick, on Twitter at Nick Kendall MHH. Yours truly at Luke Patterson LP. If you'd like to reach out to Scott, please do so at Scout Kennedy.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate that. I guess, you know, I'm tongue in cheek a little bit about the Broncos and the linebackers. And first, we got Alabama coming in saying, next man up, baby. Yeah, absolutely. Let's ride. I was a little tongue-in-cheek there. The linebackers don't matter, because obviously the Broncos maybe think the linebacking position does matter. Brought in Joe Schobert for a workout recently. Also, it comes out today that the Broncos were one of the finalists for signing one former Viking, Anthony Barr, kind of a hybrid off-ball edge guy as well. He ends up going with the Cowboys instead of the Broncos, so will be interesting to see how he looks. Maybe get a little bit toasted by the Broncos tight ends when the Cowboys Cowboys play the Broncos in the combined practice. Broncos doing some work at the linebacker position.
Yeah, Eric Saubert will fight him. I'm telling you right now, like, these tight ends aren't going to back down for it. Greg Dulcich will fight him. I don't want that happening. But no, the linebackers right now looking pretty decent. And give you guys just a quick peek into my journal tomorrow. I'm going to look at Josie Jewell, try to take a really good look at the Outlaw, because right now I've got him completely leading this room. He is so dialed in right now, Nick. It's very impressive. Right when you think that you got him figured out, yes, he's going to take the angles, right, because he doesn't have the speed. He's got this false step that he's kind of been taking right now, and I've been waiting for him to screw up, right, when players take this false step and they try to cheat, and then all of a sudden they're trying to backpedal, they fall down on themselves, and the play burns them. hasn't happened yet with Josie Jewell, which tells me he's studying his tail off right now. He's trying to get those study habits to really mesh and work with those instincts, and something I'm going to cue in tomorrow. I like Josie Jewell a lot. And then I got to be honest, very underwhelmed with our new Philadelphia Eagles cat, Alex Singleton, running with the threes and the fours, the special teams player. I'm not sure he's going to make the team right now. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Jonas Griffith, who's a freaking, he's a freak. I mean, like, you were talking about him earlier. I wanted to see if the hype was real before we got to training camp. You don't know. And yes, I said the O-line, D-line, we don't know because they're not mixing it up. Sometimes with the linebackers, you just know. You can tell. Can the guy move well? Check. Is he high? Is he tall? 6'4"? Can he see above that line of scrimmage? Does he have that height that you want in a linebacker? Check. Does he have the workload? Check. The miles? No. And not a lot of playing time that's got him beat up, that's got him in the rehab room. He's a guy that you want to see play. But depth, man, behind Jonas Griffith, behind Josie Jewell, I'm a little worried.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It would be extremely interesting. And before we start to wrap it up here, friend Zebulon comes in. Do you guys think the Broncos would be interested in Tevin Jenkins, former second round pick Oklahoma State tackle from the Chicago Bears? High drafted tackle last season. I heard they're shopping him around. I think if the Broncos were playing the more of a gap power scheme, you'd be interested. But I don't think that Tevin is a great fit for the outside zone. He's more of a mauler, you know, in a box kind of guy. And the other thing is the Broncos only have, what, 4 draft picks? I don't think that you're giving up a third round pick or a fourth round pick for a tackle who's had a back injury. Also, just a bunch of things there make me think that not really looking for that position.
Yeah, that's, man, Zebulon, I like where your head is at, man. What do you think his trade value is worth right now?
It's so hard to say because he missed pretty much all of last season with a back injury. And for an offensive tackle, a back injury is horrifying. I mean, that can flare up at any point. So
I wouldn't give up a third rounder for him. I'm telling you right now, like no way. And I think Chicago, I don't know. So I'm just speculating, but I think they're probably asking for a premium pick like that. Really interesting questions, Zebulon. I absolutely love that. Calvin Anderson's playing well right now, Nick. And, you know, just doing some poking around. A lot of people on this team think that he's the future left tackle, if I'm going to be completely honest. Not that Garrett Bowles is playing bad, but Garrett Bowles' contract, man. Yeah. It's time to get from underneath some of these numbers. You've got guys coming to the table saying, look, it's my time to eat. Garrett already ate. Dalton Risner, you're up, man. What's your contract going to look like? You got your receivers done, but now you got to get to the nitty gritty and pay a quarterback a heap of money. What's that going to look like accounting for the rest of the team? Pat Surtain's going to need a new deal long before this rookie deal is anywhere close to being done. Jerry Jeudy, what's going to happen there? So you definitely have to figure some things out. No, I'm not saying Garrett Bowles is on an exit plan or anything like that. I'm simply saying Calvin Anderson is playing well at right tackle. He's a damn good left tackle. I would love to see him get some more reps over there, but out of necessity, you could have Billy Turner, your starting right tackle, Nick, working off to the side by himself on PUP and not see him much at training camp at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And got a question here. We have with First No Fear saying, please show my question. Which question is it? But I see him come in here and he says,
need coverage
linebacker in today's NFL. Luke, name me the starting off-ball linebackers that played in the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, who would that? Oh, yeah, no problem. My guy, Logan Ryan. Right, or not Wilson. Logan Ryan, Logan Wilson. Yeah, Logan Wilson from Wyoming. He's my bae. And by the way, Nick, if the Bengals would have won the Super Bowl, he could have been Super Bowl MVP. I'm telling you right now. Like, the guys, Joe Burrow's probably going to get it. But I hear you. Just because they're not the sexy pick doesn't mean you don't need them. Talk to Tampa Bay Bucks. Look at Devin White. Look at all the success down there. I don't know, man. I know that you see that linebackers are an overvalued and a devalued position, man. But I still think the Broncos are still looking for their linebackers. Yeah, Josie Jewell's a great story. He's prepared. He's not athletic. That only gets you so far, and he's aging. And then you've got Jonas Griffith. He's coming on, but what if he doesn't hit? Who do you have behind these guys? When are they going to invest, Nick, in a linebacker? Please.
Need more defensive line, maybe need more secondary, need edge rushers before that happens. Linebacker, kind of like the running back of the defense. You know, if you have terrible ones out there, it's going to be bad, but all you need is solid and steady. And you're going to be fine. It's better to have great ones than not, though, of course, duh, every single position, but you don't have to search elite at linebacker to have elite defense. Pass rush and coverage wins the day on that end. So guys, we're going to get out of here. Edge rusher, Lawrence Taylor.
I think he's in the linebacker. I think in the hall, it says linebacker.
Yeah, they'll list Von Miller as a linebacker too. But did you see ESPN today did a goats of every single positional group ever? And Lawrence Taylor listed as an edge.
Look at us. Look at us. This is what we do on Wednesday nights on MHI, man. We go back and forth. He is Nick Kendall. I'm Luke Patterson. You guys have been absolutely stellar tonight. It's been such an active chat, man. I get it. There's a lot of hesitation. There's a lot of worry about Tim Patrick. And I know 81 appreciates all those prayers and the energy you guys are sending his way. But look, this season's not over. Tim Patrick is a living testament to that, as his NFL career has revealed itself to us. Never give up. You can overcome. What was the rap on Tim Patrick in college, Nick? Why wasn't he drafted?
I think he had injuries in
go figure.
At Utah. Yeah.
Go figure. So there is still light at the end of the tunnel, guys. Don't give up. We're there and we're going to rock and roll. I will be there tomorrow, as always, at Broncos camp at UC Health Training Center, day number 8. The pads are supposed to be on. It's supposed to be popping. So let's hope for a good, healthy, clean day.
Yeah, no injuries. Appreciate everyone. Make sure you're following Luke and I on Twitter. Luke is at Luke Patterson LP. I'm at Nick Kendall MHH. Also follow Scott, work in the background here, at Scout Kennedy. Scott and I will be live tomorrow morning for Broncos for Breakfast. Also make sure you guys are following us at MHI_pod, as well as at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, join our Facebook communities at facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. Please subscribe, like, and share to our page on YouTube. Hit the bell notification so you know when we go live. And go to Apple iTunes podcast, scroll down, find Mile High Huddle, leave us a 5-star review and a comment. We appreciate the heck out of you guys. You guys have been awesome. Getting really excited for the season right around the corner here. Preseason, real, new, tape to grind. I wish the NFL Game Pass would give us all 22 for that preseason stuff, but what can you do? Beggars can't be choosers. Looks like Luke's frozen a bit, or he's just really just focused on something right now. But I think that's my sign to get on out of here. So we appreciate you guys. Choose kindness. Choose compassion. Go Broncos.
You've been listening to the Huddle Up Podcast. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.